On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. Pleasure to have you here. It's Monday, the beginning of another work week for those that work. For those that doesn't work, doesn't make any difference at all what day it is. Make yourself comfortable. Relax. You deserve this. Hey, thanks for going through the metal detectors. That was fun, wasn't it, huh? Do you like to be frisked? For many of us, it's the only time we're ever really touched. Really, I'm serious. Some people find being frisked to get into a place is embarrassing and demeaning. I think it's just great. I like it. Like, come at me, baby. By the way, I have a little mosquito bite behind my shoulder blade. If you could hit that area, that's usually where I keep my knives. Just scratch me in the... Oh, that's the place. Oh, frisk me, baby. That was a little awkward, wasn't it? I live in the Boston area. It still hasn't rained since 1927. I'm getting a little bit concerned about this. The only water that I see being produced is when I cry. All right. Thank you. Hey, What the hell's going on with this world? Oh, please, I don't want to watch the news anymore. Every time I turn on the news, somebody is dying or threatening somebody or something's falling apart or something's horrible. Things aren't working out. Somebody's dying. Somebody's in agony. Look out for this. Look out for that. Don't touch that. Don't touch this. Here are the numbers on this. Oh, you should be upset. You should be angry. You should be afraid. Oh, my God. Leave us alone already. What the hell? How can you not be stressed? If you're not stressed about something, if you watch the news, you'll find something to be stressed about. Worry about this. This could happen. This is happening. It's the worst it's ever been. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something, millennials. I've talked about this on the show many times before, but it comes up a lot. When I was growing up, we didn't have all these cable stations. We didn't have headline news or CNN or Fox News or MSNBC or... All we had was the local news, and then at about, I think it was 6 or 6:30, Walter Cronkite would come on the air. There were three networks, and for half an hour. They'd tell you stuff that you really didn't even understand. And then he'd say goodnight, and that was it. We'd go have a cocktail and go to bed. You know, it was, life was so easy. Why do I have to know what's going on somewhere else? It was awful, man. It was an awful, this is awful. How can you not be stressed? You can give me all the body relaxers and, you know, stick needles in my back, you know, with the, all that stuff, and the acupuncture, you know, you can do all the yoga you want, eat all the yogurt you want, take all the anxiety pills you want. It doesn't stop the information from flowing into your head. You're feeding depressed people is what you're doing. How are you? I'm depressed. Well, let me tell you some more things you should be depressed about. Don't trust anybody. Don't touch anybody. Don't see anybody. Don't. I mean, come on, man. There I go, calling you man again. What am I doing that for? I didn't used to do that. That's an odd development in my speech pattern. People say I complain too much. No, you know, things have just gone a little too far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, again, the social media thing. For everything that happens, there's people pissed off about what happened. I guess I'm in that category, but I don't do social media. If I'm going to complain, I'm not going to type it. I'll just say it. I'm very upset. Where's my keyboard? I'm very upset. Where's my keyboard? I was watching an HBO movie on Saturday night. It was called, what the hell was it called? I don't know, I think it was on Netflix. It was called Gray Man or something like that. And it was about this top secret agent who, I don't know, just walks around killing people. Everybody gets shot and all this. Where is this violence coming? What is this thing with the violence all of a sudden? All the top rated movies are people killing people. What the hell's going on here? You know what I like? I like a good rom-com. Ron, what's wrong with you? Aren't you a man? Yes, I am a man. But I like a good rom-com. You know what that means? The romantic comedies. Because it's about relationships and feelings. And that kind of, it moves me inside to the point where I'm verklempt. I may cry a little bit, you know, because it's so beautiful. It's so moving emotionally. And that's, you know, and I don't know. I like that. Do I sit at home all day watching Lifetime movies? No, because they're all the same. The plots are the same. This is funny. I don't know if you watch these Lifetime movies. I really don't, but every once in a while, you know, flip by that channel. The movies are 2 hours long and with commercials. So it's 2 hours long. And then some woman is in peril, and then she gains power, and then at the very end, she's attacked physically. She's either, you know, so someone has a knife or a gun. It's usually another woman. And there's a scuffle. There's a little scuffle at the end, but it's always within the last 2 minutes of the movie that this happens. And then, of course, the police are on the way. And the woman comes out victorious. She stabs the other person. And then the last scene is always the woman sitting on the bumper of the ambulance with a blanket around her. Every single movie is like that. It doesn't matter what happened. You get a blanket, you sit on the bumper in an ambulance, you're okay because you're just sitting on the bumper. And then a cop comes over, usually a female cop, and she wraps it up and says, you're very lucky, you're an extraordinary woman. Thank you, Sergeant. And then the camera backs up, you know, to a long shot, and then the credits start rolling. It's every single freaking movie. So you know exactly what's going to happen. There are just different people playing the parts, and the plot is pretty much the same. Trouble, empowerment, 2 minute scuffle at the end, sit on the bumper of an ambulance, cop comes over, Now the next one, please. They're all exactly the same. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, we got to have violence. Everything has to have some violence in it, right? There has to be somebody punching somebody else in the face or getting shot or something cataclysmic has to happen to somebody. I'll give you a little tip about my personality, which is kind of not hard to pick up on. I will not watch a movie or a television show, whatever the case may be. I will not watch a movie or television show where a dog or a child is in peril. I will not watch it. I will turn it off immediately. I don't need to go through that. That just moves me to the point where I can't deal with it, and there's no reason that I should. It's just a freaking movie. A dog in peril? No, no. Dogs? No, no. I will not watch that. A child in peril? Maybe. But no. A child, a baby with gunfire going, I will not watch that. That is just, why are you showing me something so horrifically horrible? I won't do it. I can't do it. Won't do it. Sorry. I don't need to go through that. You know what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before you deliberate? You know what we need to do? We need to put our feet down. That's an expression. It means that you don't put up with things anymore. I don't know what it has to do. You need to put your foot down. I don't understand what that means. You have to say to yourself, I'm not putting myself through that anymore. I'm just not doing it. Just not doing it. I don't watch the news, local news, national news. I don't watch it after dinner because my mind is supposed to be freeing itself from the crap. If I watch television, do you know what I watch now? You know, to relax my mind, mindless things. There's nothing wrong with it. People say, why are you watching that stupid mindless thing? Because it's a stupid mindless thing. That's why I'm watching it. I don't want to watch heavy stuff. I don't want to be jerked around and made sad. And I don't want it to move me in a negative direction. It's the evening. It's time to relax and get ready mentally to go to bed, not to stimulate myself just before I sleep. So now, that's my rule. So I watch game shows. Game shows. So mindlessly stupid and ridiculous. But I love watching human beings just make fools of themselves because I feel better about me. So I watch game shows. It stimulates me to an extent, but it doesn't affect my psyche or my life or my relationships or anything like that. That's why I like game shows. Stimulating just enough to the point where, who cares? I love that. I love the who cares thing at night. You don't need a heavy meal before you go to bed, do you? Well, then don't fill your mind with all this heavy crap. I can't do it. Don't like to do that. We got to start relaxing. We got to start understanding that we're being bombarded by things that really don't have that much to do with us. Be concerned about the things that happen within your world, not that happen with somebody else's. Now, does that mean we're not concerned about the environment? You bet we do. That's my world. The environment is my world. Where the hell am I going to go? I'm going to get on a spaceship and go to Mars? They don't have any place to stay up there. We're stuck on the planet. So, yeah, that concerns me. Somebody gets murdered in Amsterdam. I'm sorry about that. That's horrible. I can't take that burden on, my friend. I can't do it. I can't be concerned. It's like walking into a nightclub or a restaurant. There's a sign on the wall that says, occupancy, 325 people. It's like going to a parking garage, you know, and there's a sign that says, sorry, we're full. That's the way I feel about my brain these days. Like there's a sign on it. I'm sorry, I can't take any more shit right now. I'm full. If someone gives me a whole pizza, I'll eat the whole thing, but then I'll sit back and have a stomach ache because I was full, but I ate it anyway. That was a problem. I knew when to stop. So why don't we know when to stop when it comes with stress and things that are just like destroying us mentally? Why don't we say, no, I've had enough right now. Sorry, can't take any more of that in. That's what we have to do, even with people. You might even do that with me. I'm just trying to help you. You know, you have somebody that just incessantly talks. They call you and they just talk at you. You can't get a word in edgewise. Or, you know, you go to somebody's house and they just talk, me, and you're just sitting there going, oh my God, I got to get out of this. You really should just stand up and say, no, I'm standing up and putting my foot down. What's wrong, Ron? I'm full. I'm full of your crap. Not your crap. I'm full of your stories. I did say that to a friend once. I did. I said I was being talked at with all these stories, and it was starting to annoy me. And I interrupted and I said, I'm full. And my friend said, what do you mean you're full? I've had enough of your stories. And my friend laughed, but I meant it. And I left. You have to do that. You have to do that sometimes. You can't put up with all this stuff. I'm telling you, man. On a different note, I was watching the news. I do watch the news in the morning, and then that's it. Do you live in New York City, parts of Brooklyn, the greater metropolitan area? You may live in the city of Chicago, L.A., whatever the case may be, San Francisco. In New York City, a place that I visit frequently, they sit with the average apartment rental was. How much do you pay for an apartment in New York City? And the average rate, the average fee, is $5,000 a month. You gotta be kidding me. $5,000 a month? That was the rent. How is that possible? How much money do you have to make? $5,000 a month. That's $60,000. $60,000 a year just to live in an apartment, not counting utilities, cable, internet, electric, gas, whatever. Food, that's important too. $60,000 a year. Holy crap. Just for the apartment itself. Nothing else. Just the apartment itself. $5,000 a month. Oh my God. Omicron. Oh my God. That's significantly horrible. That's going to live, you're going to be living with other people if you're just getting out of college. You ain't living alone in New York City. Unless you have an incredible job. I don't know. We're kind of getting out of reality here. On the other hand, if you want to buy a house, and most people don't have enough money for the down payment, if you want to buy a house, you can buy a house that's a little further away from the city, spend a little bit more on transportation and headaches, but you can't afford one. The interest rates now on a mortgage rates are up to 5%, and some people are saying, oh my God, 5%. Let me tell you something. I'm a little bit older than you are, perhaps. The mortgage rate on my first house was 14%. And you might be saying, Ron, what? Did you say 14? Yes, it did. That was considered to be the rate back when I bought my first house. So don't come crying to me, honey, when it's five. I mean, come on, man. It's all what you're used to. It really is. It's like the summer. It's been where I live here in the Boston area. It's been like 90 degrees every day forever since the summer began. Just about 90 degrees. And then it was a string. We just got over it here. There was a string of like about 10 days of 90 degrees every single day. And then the next day, they said, oh, we're getting some relief from the heat wave. It's only going to be 83 tomorrow. And all of us walked around like in sweaters. Like, what the hell? What the hell? 83 is hot. 83 is very hot. But when you're used to 90 every day, it's not so bad. That's what I'm talking about. If it was the winter and it was 30 degrees outside, but the next day was going to be 83 degrees, people would be dying in the streets from heat prostration. It's just a question of what you're used to. It's always what you're used to, but now it's not this anymore. Yeah, so mortgage rates, 5%? Stop your crying, you little wuss. However, if you're looking for an apartment in New York City, start crying. That's not good. Right. My guest is going to join us in just a second. We're going to talk about slimy, creepy animals. That should be fun. Huh? Yeah? Right? Am I serious? You bet I am. But first, before we do that, this little commercial word for you.
Ready for your next good time out with friends? Then come to karaoke night at that bar near your house. Grab the mic and belt out your favorites, or grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the show. You'll see things like 12 drunk girls singing Love Shack, all in different keys. Check out the nice old lady who only performs Patsy Cline tunes, and her gray-haired gentleman partner, who apparently only knows Sinatra. Feel the love and warmth of a heartfelt ballad sung by a young man with a beautiful soprano voice who hasn't come out to his parents yet. Thrill to frat boys jacked up on tequila shots and Red Bull trying to pull off 90s gangster rap, or that Fall Down, Get Up Again song by Chumbawamba. And clap along to that one girl who auditioned for American Idol once, singing like she's auditioning for American Idol. All this and more musical notes never before performed by a human voice at karaoke night at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm great. Erica Engelhaupt is here. She is an author, and she's written for tons of publications. This is an interesting thing. I've been actually looking forward to this interview, and it usually doesn't happen.
Great.
But this is fun. It's been back in the series of the National Geographic Kids. It's called Gory Details, Adventures from the Dark Side of Science. It's fascinating. It's everything that I had in the back of my mind, but I didn't have the nerve to ask anybody the questions. And
perfect. That's exactly what I'm going for.
Well, it worked. And I'll tell you something. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a grown adult. Mm-hmm. And this is fascinating to me. So Nat Geo Kids, that's nice. Nat Geo Adults, yeah, this is for you too.
Yeah.
No kidding. this is fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I tell people that I write about gross science, they often assume that I write for kids. Mm-hmm. But I think of my book more like gross stuff for grown-ups. It's all that stuff that we're curious about, but we're too afraid to ask because, you know, yeah, that's like stuff that only kids are supposed to be allowed to ask.
Exactly. Exactly. It freaked me out a little bit. I guess that's the darker side of science. There are a couple of questions right off the bat that you list, and those have been my questions now that you bring them up. I'm going to ask you these, if I may, because
yeah,
I don't think I'll be able to sleep unless I get these answers. why do clowns creep us out so much?
You know, isn't that funny? Some people have told me that clowns don't bother them at all. And then there are other people that are just absolutely like
kind of
phobic about it,
that's
you know?
Me.
And, yeah, well, you know, psychologists say that you're not crazy for thinking clowns are creepy. Clowns are actually kind of, like the poster child for creepiness in a way, because what is creepiness? What makes something creepy as opposed to just scary? Well, it's a sense of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Something is creepy when you sense that there could be danger, but you're not sure.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, that's a clown. I mean, they look like a person, but then they act in these really bizarre ways. They're very unpredictable. You don't know what they're going to do. And then they've got that, you know, that makeup that makes their faces look distorted, huge feet.
Yeah.
And so it's that sense of something seems off, but I can't quite tell what it is. Yeah. And I can't tell if this thing is going to try to make me laugh or try to kill me.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever laughed when a clown did anything. okay. Now, here's an odd question. If you actually died and were laying dead on the floor and your dog recognized that you were dead, would the dog or a wild animal for that matter eat you?
Well, I have to tell you the answer is they might.
Oh my God.
And a friend of mine asked me about this and she said, I heard that sometimes people's dogs eat them after they die and, you know, come into your house and find you all eaten up by your dog. It does happen. You know, I've talked to medical examiners and forensic scientists and looked through the forensic science literature and, something that medical examiners are pretty familiar with. And it's not always that the dog is starving, you know, I mean, obviously if it's been like days and the animal's hungry, then, dogs will scavenge. And so, food is food, but it's not always that situation. Sometimes, the dog may get frantic, not be able to wake someone up and actually start biting, trying to wake them up. And then that biting can turn into eating. And
Interesting.
So, but even if you, don't have a dog, that doesn't necessarily mean that this couldn't happen. There was even a case where a woman's body was partially eaten by her hamster.
Oh my! Wow.
Yeah.
I know for sure that a clown would definitely eat me. I'm sure of. I have no question about that.
You might look at your beloved dog a little bit differently after reading this.
All right, Erica. Now about you. How did this happen? I'm sure this wasn't the first thing that you sat down and said, I'm going to write this kind of stuff. How did this happen?
I have a background in science and I've always, loved nature. I love, the world. The world is full of gross and embarrassing stuff. And so I've always been interested in kind of the weird stuff and I think a lot of people are. I mean, I don't think I'm alone on this.
No, you're not.
I think, we're all really curious and morbid curiosity even is a very normal, natural thing that we're all curious about things like death. You know, it's the great unknown.
I remember learning when I was a kid, and I didn't necessarily believe it, was that when I went to bed at night, there were living things crawling around my pillow all the time. There were things living in my eyelashes, living in my eyebrows 24/7 and not paying rent. I mean, just incredible thing, which I guess is the case, but I don't want to know it. But is that true? Is that stuff true?
Absolutely. I hate to break the news to you, but there are face mites living on your face and my face and all of our faces right now. And these are little teeny tiny. You can't see them. They're microscopic. But they live inside our pores and they're just a normal part of all of our bodies. And one of the most fun things that I got to do in researching this book was go to a lab where I got to see my own face mites. And I have to tell you, it sounds gross and scary, and you think, oh, no, there's some mites on my face. You know, when I saw them, it really made me feel a lot better about it. You know, they're just little little kind of cute critters
cute.
in there.
Cute.
And they may not be doing you any harm. They may be, you know, just eating your face oils and, you know, keeping house in there.
So and I guess that they would be intricate to indeed keeping house, I guess. I guess they're necessary.
You know, they may be. Yeah. You know, they have been considered to be parasites, but, you know, it's not so clear now. You know, they may be actually, it may be more of a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, wow. Toilet rats? What?
No, toilet rats are real, yeah.
Are these rats?
I've had experience with those, too.
Do they come up through the toilet?
Yeah, so especially if you are somewhere where there's a combined sewer system. So let's see, you're in Boston, right?
Yes.
Probably do have, you know, so basically if the storm drains on the street and the sewer from your house go into the same sewer pipes, which in a lot of cities it does, then that means there's basically kind of a sewer highway for rats. And so if the rats are in the street sewers, then they can easily come up, you know, and rats are amazing. I have a whole new appreciation for rats after learning about them. You know, they can easily climb up a sewer pipe into your toilet. They're amazing swimmers. They can do so many things. And so, absolutely. And so I had that experience in my house of, you know, of rats, and they basically, and they can pop right up through the toilet. It's a real phenomenon.
Wow. It doesn't just happen in New Jersey. That's amazing.
It's not just New Jersey. I was in D.C.
Well, that's, you know, well, okay. So that's, you said enough there. You're fascinating. I could talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to. So I'm going to have to get the book. It's available everywhere. How would I get more information, how to follow, and all that stuff?
Absolutely. So you can go to my website, gorydetailsbook.com, find out all about the book and where to buy it. I encourage people to go to their local bookstores, of course, and support local businesses. It's published by National Geographic Books.
Fantastic. Erica, I knew this would be a good one, and I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk again soon when the next one comes out. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Mm-hmm.